Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
Hi folks, welcome to another episode of the 59th Minute FPL Podcast, which is brought to you by The Athletic. I'm Mark McGettigan. You can find me on Twitter at FPL General. Game Week 31 is done and dusted. I'm recording on Tuesday morning ahead of Game Week 32, which is a long game week looking at the fixtures. It begins this Friday and it doesn't end until next Thursday, so it's going to be a long, drawn-out game week. Some teams will play in the FA Cup before they play their Game Week 32 fixture. That's why the game week is spread out so much. Spurs have a double game week this week against Everton away and Southampton at home, while Crystal Palace have a blank game week. There's Champions League and Europa League action again this week, so be patient with those transfers if you can be. The headlines from Game Week 31, Stuart Dallas scored an unlikely brace against Manchester City, winning all 3 points for Leeds. Plenty of managers had him auto sub in from the bench this week, and he's now the top scoring defender in the game. What a legend. Trent Alexander-Arnold continued his good run of FPL form with an 11-pointer against Aston Villa, scoring a great goal to win that one. Jesse Lingard, that guy again, scoring twice against Leicester to bring his tally to 8 goals in 9 games for West Ham, as well as 4 assists. I sit here asking myself, why on earth do I not own this guy yet? That's something I may have to fix this week. Mason Greenwood came off the bench to get a goal and an assist in the win over Spurs, so he's looking really good for the run-in. Christian Pulisic and Kai Havertz went big against Crystal Palace, scoring 25 points between them. But yet again, there was no clean sheet for Chelsea. Lacazette, Iheanacho and Cavani were the top scoring forwards in Game Week 31. All three are viable transfers in this week. And finally, West Brom goalkeeper Sam Johnstone saved a Ward-Prowse penalty to preserve his clean sheet for a massive 15-pointer on Monday night. You can subscribe to The Athletic right now for a special price of £3.99 a month for 6 months. That's 40% off the full price of a subscription. You'll enjoy great analysis and in-depth features from the very best football writers around, as well as ad-free versions of all our podcasts. Simply visit theathletic.com/FPLpod to take advantage of this special 40% discount. That's theathletic.com/FPLpod. Game Week 31 shoutouts now. Unfortunately, there's no new members to the 59th Minute Club. Just notable mentions this week. Yerry Mina at Everton picked up an injury, managed just 57 minutes, so extremely close to getting the clean sheet points, but he missed out on those. Aaron Cresswell at West Ham also picked up an injury. He also picked up a yellow card, 52 minutes, 0 points for Cresswell. A couple of 60-minute appearances, so these guys just about made it. Lo Celso at Spurs and Jorginho at Chelsea. Quite a few 58-minute appearances. Eze and Rydevil at Crystal Palace. Nathan Ake and Dennis Pratt, as well as João Moutinho. And had to mention Patrick Bamford here as well. He was hooked at half time because of that red card, so that was pretty unfortunate for him. A quick review of Game Week 31. I could basically copy and paste my game week reviews from week to week these days. It's just the same old story, full of misery. I'm trying to be as upbeat as possible recording these podcasts each week, but it's bloody challenging when things are not going well. So with my free transfer, I got rid of Reguilon and I brought in Trent Alexander-Arnold. So at least I did something right. That transfer worked out well, but of course Reguilon could do well in the double game week. So I'm not going to judge that one as success just yet. But it was good to get those points from Trent. Captain blank with Jota. I think a lot of people had captain blanks this week if they didn't have Mohamed Salah. So Salah hurt me this week. and I may have to get him in at some point in the near future because he's looking pretty good. 43 points in the end. It was a red arrow from 24k to 33k. The slide continues. Seventh red arrow on the bounce. I'm starting to wonder if I'm ever going to get a green one again. The good and the bad. The good, Trent with 11. Saiz, good to see him get a clean sheet. Six-pointer. Heung-Min Son, good to see him back on the score sheet. And Patrick Bamford, 4 points. I'm calling that a success. I got him off the bench, so it's a lot better getting 4 points off the bench than getting a two-pointer. The bad, Chelsea defence, again, Alonso didn't play. I got Luke Shaw, 1-pointer off the bench. I wasn't like those Dallas owners getting a sweet auto sub this week. Mendy and Azpilicueta, so you know, I've had them 2 weeks now, and zero clean sheets, so that is a bit worrying. Blanks as well for Bruno, Rafinha, Jota, Kane, and probably the most frustrating part of the game week was Calvert-Lewin, because when you've got one player left in the final game of the game week, you've always got that hope that they're going to save you and maybe turn your red arrow green, but it wasn't to be. Not in the starting 11, which pushed me over the edge, and I did not watch that game then because of that. So overall, another disappointing game week, but I'm going to keep fighting. 33k, it's still not a bad place to be with, what, 7 game weeks to go now. So, you know, it's going to be pretty hard for me probably to get back to the top 10k now. But that is the challenge, and I'm going to do my best to turn things around between now and game week 38. A watch list update now ahead of game week 32. First of all, the players I've removed this week, Aaron Cresswell, because he's picked up an injury. West Ham haven't been keeping too many clean sheets recently anyway. I removed all of the Southampton guys after that dreadful result against West Brom. They've got a blank game week coming up soon as well, so I'm not going to look to invest in Southampton at the moment. Redmond, Armstrong and Danny Ings are all gone from the watch list, as is Pedro Neto, who's picked up a very unfortunate injury, so speedy recovery to him, and Sadio Mane as well. So I've got Jota, I've got Trent, and obviously I much prefer Salah as an option if I'm going to add a third one. Man, he's had a pretty disappointing season, and he was on the bench at the weekend as well, so I'm not going to be looking to buy Sadio. Players I've added to the watch list following the game week: Rob Holding, very cheap route into the Arsenal defence, really good value, couple of good fixtures coming up. Soufal and Ollie Watkins, both added. Both are two players I sold 2 weeks ago on my wildcard, and since then I think Soufal has got an assist in both games and Ollie Watkins has scored in both, so the wildcard players that I sold continue to haunt me. So I'm not going to rule out getting either of those two guys back at some point before the end of the season. I've also added Vidra from Burnley. I put a joke tweet out the other day for wildcarders: if you've got Vidra in your wildcard team, move the letters around until it spells Vardy. And then I got a few daggers thrown at me over the weekend when Vardy blanked and Vidra scored. So Vidra, just really good value. I think he's about 4.8 million. If you're looking for a very, very cheap third forward, he's someone who is an option. You don't have to play him every week. You could just use him as an enabler. So as long as Ashley Barnes is out, Vidra's been playing pretty well, so he's a pretty good value option there. Kai Havertz is back on the watch list as well. Now, I'm already tripled up on Chelsea defensively, so obviously I can't get Havertz in until I sell one of the defenders, which I may end up doing at some point. I'm going to stick with triple defence for now, but you know, it might come to a point where I get annoyed with it if they keep conceding goals to people like Christian Benteke. Maybe I'll lose one of them, which would open the door for a Havertz or a Mount. So Havertz caught the eye big time at the weekend. I think he got 10 points, but he should have had a lot more. He had a lot of very good chances, and it was a pretty, you know, a few pretty tame efforts on target that he should have scored. So Havertz certainly passed the eye test, as did Traore at Wolves. I think it was his first goal in 48 games. So it's been a long time since we've seen on the score sheet. He should score a lot more given the talent that he has. Now that Neto is out, you know, maybe we'll see Traore step it up. What I like about Traore this season, yes, he hasn't been getting attacking returns, but he very, very often plays 90 minutes, which hasn't been the case in previous seasons. So if you're looking for a big differential for the next couple of weeks who's got good fixtures, Adama Traore could be someone to look at.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Moving on now to the Twitter questions. First one this week comes in from FPL Donau. Is Kane in double game week 32 the best option for triple captain for the rest of the season? In my opinion, yes, he is, because we know what it is. He's got Everton away and he's got Southampton at home. Yes, Spurs are a bit patchy, but Kane has been pretty reliable for most of the season. He's got the penalties, so I think he's a pretty good triple captain option this game week if you've still got it. There is talk of people maybe keeping their triple captainship for the possibility of a double game week later in the season. It looks like we could have a double game week. I think it's 35, but quite simply, it's unknown. We still don't know what is going to happen there. So I think play what's in front of you. You've got a great double game week this week for Harry Kane or Heung-Min Son if you fancy Son. So I would play triple captain this week on Kane or Son if you still have it. I'd be on Kane. I just think he's been much more reliable than Son has been over the past couple of months. Question from Sam Herman Wilson. Is Son essential for this game week? And if so, should I transfer out Jota or Lingard for him? So yeah, I think a lot of people have this question this week. If they don't own Son, is he essential? Do you have to go all out and get him this week, even if it means losing a good player or possibly taking a minus four to get him in? So my gut feeling on this would be I don't think he is essential, given that Spurs are a bit of a mess at the moment. You know, another bad result for them against Manchester United. So we don't really know what kind of Spurs we're going to get in this double game week. When it comes to Kane, I'm more backing the player there than I'm backing the team. If we look at Son, yes, he was on the score sheet at the weekend, but I think that's only three goals in his last maybe 16 or 17 games. So he hasn't exactly been firing on all cylinders in recent weeks and months. So when it comes to selling a player like Jota, who's got a good fixture, or Lingard, who's also got a good fixture against Newcastle, I wouldn't really want to lose either of those players this week. There's every chance that Jota and Lingard could outscore Son in this double game week. Now, I probably will always back the player who's got two fixtures in that scenario, but at the moment, I don't think you can sell Lingard, especially not before Newcastle. And likewise, Jota, I think it's Leeds this week. So, I mean, that's a pretty good fixture as well. So, if you're really desperate to get Son in this scenario, I would find a different way to get it rather than having to sell Jota or Lingard, I rate them as better assets at the moment. So, yeah, you don't need to break your neck to get Son this week. If you can get him easily, great. But yeah, don't worry too much about the double game week would be my advice. I sold Reguilon last week. I didn't care that he had a double game week because, you know, I probably got blinded by the double game week when I put him in my wildcard squad. And then I quickly realized, you know what, this Spurs defense is not very good. Let me get someone like Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's a better long-term pick anyway. So you've got to remember as well, if you're going to get Son in this week, If you've already got Kane, if you've already got a couple of Man City players, you could be in trouble for game week 33 then because they blank then. So bear that in mind. You want to get 11 players on the pitch for that blank game week 33. So be careful of that as well. So yeah, if you can get Son easily, I would probably do it. But I probably wouldn't go taking a hit to get him. And I certainly wouldn't lose someone like Lingard or Jota to do so. Question from JB. Who are the top three differential picks for the Spurs double? I've just coupled all the Spurs questions here together at the start of the question section. So when it comes to differentials from Spurs, obviously it's not Son or Kane. So who are the other options? I'd probably put Lucas Moura as my third choice from Spurs if you want to get three of them this week. I'm happy to roll with just Kane and Son. I'm not going to be buying a third one. So Lucas Moura, I think he's only about 2.2% owned. Plays 90 minutes most weeks. You know, he seems to have the trust of Jose Mourinho, so I like him. And I just like backing the attack at Spurs at the moment rather than the defence. I've got very little faith in the defence because it's a bit like I mentioned last week with Arsenal. It chops and changes a lot, which I don't like, although Arsenal did go and keep a clean sheet then, but you would expect that against Sheffield United. I don't expect two clean sheets, certainly, for Tottenham in this double game week. If they can get one, great. You're doing well, probably, if you've got a defender, but I wouldn't be surprised if they keep no clean sheets against Everton and Southampton. So Lucas Moura is the one I would go for. If I was going for a defensive pick, probably still would be Reguilon, but I quite like Lloris as well. If you've got a goalkeeper issue, let's say you've got Pope as your only goalkeeper, no playing substitute, and if Pope is going to miss out this weekend, which I don't think we know yet, you could go Pope to Lloris to get your third Spurs player. I don't mind that either. And final Spurs question from Chris Allman. With the exception of Kane, beyond Game Week 32, do you see any value in any Spurs assets until the end of the season? I also have Son, but his form since Christmas, coupled with price, makes even his value questionable. I think, quite simply, Son is not a good value FPL pick at the moment, and he hasn't been for quite a while. Now, hopefully for those of us who own him, he does really well in the double game week, which will in turn make us want to keep him for some nice fixtures afterwards, and we can focus our transfers elsewhere. But my early thoughts are I will sell Son in game week 33, possibly, for Salah. He could be my route to getting Mohamed Salah back in, possibly regardless of what he does. Even if Son does well in the double game week, I probably have a lot more faith in Salah until the end of the season. So Chris's question, do I see any value in any Spurs players apart from Kane until the end of the season? My answer is no. I still think Kane is great. He's reliable. He's a good captain pick. So I'm probably going to end up keeping him all season. But Son could easily go, and I don't see myself buying any other Spurs players between now and the end of the season. So yeah, it's Kane or nothing, really, I think, after this game week. Question from Dean Simmons. Is it worth the risk bringing in Kelechi Iheanacho this game week when the deadline for FPL is before the FA Cup tie? So yeah, this is the case for those teams in the FA Cup semi-finals. We're going to have to set our FPL team on Friday. The deadline's on Friday, and then we're going to have to watch them play in the FA Cup and hope they don't get injured, and then play the game during the week for FPL. So you can't really let that stop you this week. If you really want to buy a player like Iheanacho, he's near the top of my shopping list this week, it's not going to stop me buying him. You've got to take that risk. I mean, the chances are pretty low of something happening to the players anyway in the FA Cup ties. Hopefully there's no major injuries. And even if there is, there's a good chance you've got a decent first sub at the moment anyway who can come in. So yeah, what I would say is when you're making your transfers this week, by all means, buy the players who are playing the FA Cup. If they're good FPL picks, don't let that put you off buying them before Friday. Next question comes in from FPL Savage. Should we view the last couple of Chelsea matches as flukes in terms of them not keeping clean sheets, or should we be looking elsewhere in terms of defensive options? Yeah, I've got the triple up, but in a way I kind of view it as a double up because I've got Alonso and he often doesn't play. So quite often it does become a double up rather than a triple up like it did this weekend. Should we view the last couple of games as flukes? I was willing to throw the West Brom game out the window as a rare occurrence. And watching them against Crystal Palace, they're very close to getting a clean sheet against Crystal Palace. If Benteke doesn't score that goal, we're all delighted. We've got all our Chelsea clean sheets. So that, on another day, could have very easily been a clean sheet against Crystal Palace. Next couple of games for Chelsea, Brighton at home, West Ham away, Fulham at home. So those two games in particular, Brighton and Fulham, I think are very good chances of clean sheets. So I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to play it out. I brought in triple Chelsea on my wildcard for 4 or 5 game weeks, not just 2 game weeks. And even though it hasn't worked out so far, I'm going to stick with it and hopefully it pays off with those fixtures still to come. Would I stop anybody from selling a Chelsea defender this week or goalkeeper? Absolutely not. If you're not happy with it and you feel like it's time to get off triple Chelsea defence or double Chelsea defence, by all means go for it. There's plenty of other good options out there as well. But I think the way my team's set up, there's things I want to do in midfield and attack. There's players I don't own like Iheanacho, Lingard, Salah. I think it's more important for me to prioritise getting some of those players in rather than moving a Chelsea defender out who's got a good fixtures for another FPL defender. So yeah, team dependent, I think, on that one. Question from Ashley Moss. Is Cavani worth buying until the end of the season? I think I added Cavani to my watch list before the game at the weekend. It was good to see him get on the score sheet. He had another one chalked out very harshly for that Son and McTominay incident. So Cavani very easily could have had a brace in that game. We know he's a top-class striker. I think he's a very good option for the rest of the season. He's got Burnley at home next and Leeds away. So I think if you're going to get on Cavani, it probably has to be this week for those fixtures against Burnley and Leeds, because I think they're a little bit trickier after that. To me, on paper, those are two very good fixtures for Manchester United. So yeah, if you want to get on Cavani, this is probably the week to do so. Question from Tom Horner. Tom sold Martinez for Mendy on the wildcard and regretting it. Should I look to switch back if transfers permit in the next few game weeks? Tom says he can see a lot of save points for Emi between now and the end of the season. I mean, that's the beauty of Emi Martinez versus Mendy. If you've got Martinez and he doesn't keep a clean sheet, there's a good chance he gets you 3 or 4 points. Whereas with Mendy, if he doesn't keep a clean sheet, you know you're probably just getting 2 points because he doesn't get the save. So, you know, part of me is probably regretting getting rid of Martinez as well on the wild card because Mendy hasn't panned out so far. But like I said, I'm going to stick with Mendy for these next three games anyway. Maybe I'll reassess it after that. And again, I think the key here, Tom mentioned it, if transfers permit, is it okay to go from Mendy back to Martinez? I think it's fine. If you think you made a mistake, if it would make you happier as an FPL manager to own the legend that is Emi Martinez for the rest of the season, then do it. But I would only do it if you're not ignoring other issues in your team that would be, you know, better to fix. You know, let's say you've got an injured player or something in a key position. I would get, you know, I'd fix that first before I would make the goalkeeper switch, because goalkeeper switches in FPL are often, they don't make up much ground for you. And, you know, I would like to think Mendy over the next three fixtures should score a decent amount of points. And maybe it's after those next three fixtures that you could look to make the switch back to Martinez, particularly if that Aston Villa double game week falls later in the season. Question from Sharish. If I can get 11 playing players, but not all good options for game week 33, should I save my free hit for a possible double game week or just use it to get the strongest possible team for game week 33? So yeah, free hit's not something I've thought about too much because I've already used my own. I'm trying to think what I would do if I still had it. Again, team dependent. I mean, if you are in a pretty good position now, looking ahead to game week 33 when the likes of Tottenham and Manchester City don't play, if you can get there with even, I don't think you even need 11, if you can have 9 or 10 pretty good players, or even 11 with, you know, one or two not so great options, I would probably hold off on the free hit that week and keep it for the unknown. Keep it for, you know, we're probably going to have blank game weeks and double game weeks in the final couple of weeks of the season if these fixtures get moved around for fans. So I would be inclined to keep the free hit for the unknown, like I said. And even if you've got a wild card, if your team is in pretty good shape at the moment and you're happy with it, you could just hold the wild card as well quite late, you know, game week 34, game week 35. I don't think in this very strange season that, I don't think you can play it too late. You know, if things are going well for you in particular and you're happy with your squad, you know, having the wild card for 34 or 35, if those fixtures do get moved around and we do have a big double game week, you could really take advantage that week with a wild card or a free hit. So yeah, I think the patient approach is fine this season because, you know, usually we don't have this unknown scenario in the final couple of game weeks. So it's always nice to have a couple of chips in your pocket for that as a comfort blanket. Question from James. Over the last few weeks, you appear to have gone against a few of your golden rules / own advice. For example, bringing in non-nailed players like Alonso and wildcarding early, etc. What are your plans strategy-wise from now on, and will you revert back to a more conservative style? So yeah, obviously played the wildcard a week early in 30 instead of 31. Didn't work out. You know, I'm very envious of wildcarders this week who went for the likes of Iheanacho, Salah, and did really well, because, you know, that those guys, I'm sure, would have been in my wildcard squad this week had I not gone the week early. So it didn't work out. Don't really have any regrets, because on another occasion, going a week early would have worked out and I would have done well over the last couple of game weeks. But that's FPL. Sometimes you gotta take a chance and it doesn't always work out. In terms of how do I feel right now about the game, to be honest, I'm not feeling good about FPL. I haven't enjoyed it for a couple of weeks now. It feels like a real struggle. And I know there's plenty of managers out there from reading social media tweets this week. There's a lot of people disillusioned with the game. Particularly, I think, those of us who don't own Jesse Lingard. Just week after week, he just kicks you when you're down. I mean, I think perfectly logical not to buy a player like Lingard over the last couple of game weeks. But those who've had him have been the ones who've come out on top. So what is my plans for the rest of the season? I probably will quite naturally revert to my golden rules and my more, you know, familiar strategy, because even the last two game weeks going a little bit left field and being a little bit different, it obviously hasn't worked out. So I'd probably rather go back to what I was doing earlier in the season, just keeping things simple, making simple transfers, you know, avoiding points hits, making obvious captain picks. For example, Kane will be my captain this week. I won't overthink it. And just see what I can do over the last seven game weeks. I still think at 33K, it's very, very possible to get back into the top 10K, which is always my goal each and every season. So I probably will revert back because things obviously haven't been going well. So yeah, keep going to keep it simple this week. Probably will just make one transfer, Captain Kane, and hopefully things will change, because I think you can become over-aggressive when things are not going well, and I don't want to do that. You know, I said when I played my wild card, I wanted to inject some enjoyment into the season, you know, go slightly different and just enjoy it, but it hasn't panned out that way. Even going different, I'm still not enjoying the season. So I'm just going to go back to, like James says here, go back to my usual style, what suits me, and hopefully I can turn the tide and just stop the slide, really. I just don't want to, you know, keep getting those red arrows for the rest of the season. So just going to simplify things, and hopefully the luck will turn over the next couple of game weeks.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Taking a look at captaincy now for game week 32. Looking at the fixtures, it's a shame really that Spurs have a double game week, because they're obviously going to dominate the captaincy picks now this week. Kane will come out on top, I'm sure. Son will be a close second. It's a shame because there's lots of very good fixtures for good assets who've got one fixture. So if you're someone who fancies going against the grain and not picking a Spurs captain this week, Lingard away to Newcastle, pretty good option. Lacazette is home to Fulham. You could go for a Manchester United attacker at home to Burnley. Someone like Bruno, Cavani, even players like Greenwood and Rashford could be in the thinking there. Salah and Jota play away to Leeds. That's a pretty good fixture, even though Leeds have been much better defensively in recent weeks. If you own Manchester City assets, they're away to Aston Villa. And finally, Iheanacho at home to West Brom. You could throw Vardy into the mix there as well, but Iheanacho has clearly been the better option in recent matches. So yeah, for me, I'll always back the double gaming player. Harry Kane will get the armband. I won't think twice about it. Heung-min Son will get the vice captaincy this week. Game week 32 transfer thoughts. I'm just going to run through my notes here. So the plan for this week was to get Bamford out for Iheanacho, but now that Calvert-Lewin has an issue, if it looks like Calvert-Lewin will miss Friday's game, if there's any doubts about Calvert-Lewin's fitness, I will probably sell Calvert-Lewin instead of Bamford and get Iheanacho in. I'll just, you know, I'm happy enough to keep Bamford on the bench for a game or two and then bring him back in when Leeds fixtures improve anyway. So even if Calvert-Lewin is okay, he's annoyed me enough over the last two game weeks anyway that I might just sell him, because the thing about selling Calvert-Lewin instead of Bamford is it frees up more cash. And if I did that, it would allow me to, it opens the door for Son out for Salah next week. And I might need to do that. I might need to get Salah back in, because if he keeps hurting me every week, you know, I like him as a captaincy option. He's looked much better since I sold him on the wild card, so I may end up going back there. So very good chance I'll get out of Calvert-Lewin for Iheanacho. The question then is Jesse Lingard. You know, do I take a -4, just bite the bullet and bring him in? So I've noted down here, I would like to get Lingard in for the Newcastle game, but it would need to be for a hit if I buy Iheanacho. I could get Lingard in for Smith Rowe or Rafinha, but then I wouldn't be able to afford Mohamed Salah next week, who I feel like I might need to get back. So there's plenty for me to chew on this week. So I could end up doing just Iheanacho in. Maybe I'll scrap the Iheanacho idea and just get Lingard in. I'm pretty sure it'll be one or the other, but I could still end up getting both. You know, I said I'm going to avoid hits as much as I can for the rest of the season, but I think if you're taking a minus four, that gets you Iheanacho and Lingard, two massively in-form assets who've still got really good fixtures. I think that is a perfectly fine minus four. I think Lingard and Iheanacho should pay you back and more over the next couple of game weeks. So I might end up getting both Iheanacho and Lingard. Lingard in particular, just for my own sanity, if nothing else, so I can go back to enjoying my weekends. Every weekend the last couple of weeks, it's been a matter of being out and about in the car or out in the park and leave my phone at home. And at some point I just asked my wife, can you check the score of the West Ham game? And every single time I know what the reply is going to be, and without fail it's been, yeah, Lingard assist, Lingard goal. So I think she's sick of me even not owning Lingard, so I might just get him this week, even if it's part of a minus four. And then I can just enjoy my weekend, whether he does gets 12 points or whether he gets 2 points. Something else that's in my mind when it comes to transfers as well. I don't want to let, you know, getting Salah back next week for Son stop me from getting Lingard and Iheanacho this week. So there's always the option as well. Bruno hasn't been great recently, so there's always a possibility of me getting Salah in for Bruno at some point if I feel like I need to get Salah back. And that would allow me to keep Son. You know, let's say, for example, Son does well in the double game week. I'm probably not going to want to sell him then, realistically. And I think he's got Sheffield United in the game week 34 and possibly a good fixture in 35 as well. So Son might end up staying, and it could end up being Bruno Fernandes who leaves for Salah at some point. So lots for me to think about in terms of transfers this week. But certainly, Iheanacho and Lingard are my two most wanted. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening, folks. Please give it a share on Twitter if you enjoyed it and leave a review on whatever platform you're using to listen. If you'd like to hear more podcasts from me this week and support me as a full-time fantasy manager, check out patreon.com/FPLgeneral. Enjoy the European matches this week. Best of luck for Game Week 32, and I'll talk to you all next Tuesday.
The Athletic.
Brought to your ears by The Athletic, I'm Adam Hurry, and Football Clichés is the podcast you never knew you needed. Every week, to quite unnecessary depth, we examine the words, the phrases, the accepted wisdom, the mannerisms, the habits, the gestures, the symbols, the sounds, and the smells that everyone takes for granted in football, but which really are the glorious glue that holds it all together. For example, have you ever really listened to the Football League goals roundups? I mean, really listened to them? Because they all sound pretty much like this. Team X went into this game with just one win in their last 13, and when Team Y took the lead inside 4 minutes at Stadium Z, the home fans were probably starting to fear the worst. But Striker A had other ideas, and this game turned on its head in the space of 5 minutes midway through the second half. First, a smart finish from the edge of the box brought Team X level, and he repeated the trick on the hour mark to bring his tally for the season to 22. By now, Team X were in the mood, and although Striker A squandered a gilt-edged chance to complete his hat-trick, on-loan Dutchman winger B made it three with a curling effort from long range. Team Y's misery was compounded in stoppage time when midfielder C's late challenge on fullback D saw them reduced to 10 men. An afternoon to forget for manager E's men then, but Team X will hope they have finally turned a corner under caretaker boss manager F. Listen to Football Clichés wherever you get your podcasts, and also ad-free when you subscribe to The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.